Record it.
Testing. Everybody count.
Oh, five.
Two,
seven,
three.
This is the most ambient counting that's ever happened on me. Welcome. I'm going to turn you guys down.
Okay.
Welcome to the Eric Lang Show.
Is this really starting?
My guest today? Yeah. My guest today, we have Akbar.
Hello.
Akbar, let's do count again.
One, two, three.
That's good.
Four.
All right. And Christian, why don't you count? What do you got?
Seven, 10, 13.
Oh, I just turned you all the way down.
There now we go back. Seven. 10, 13, 42.
All right, and I'm Eric. 1, 2, 3. All right, so here we are. We're in Oregon. We're live in Oregon, and all four of us have ADD. did anybody catch that? It's only three of us. Akbar, you go first. You're alphabetically more significant. What's your story? Introduce yourself, please.
Hi there. My name is Akbar Chisti. I am a washed-up amateur golfer, about a 10 handicap.
Solid. Double digit, if you will.
I'm married. I have a daughter, Rubina. She's five. My wife.
Your wife's five?
No, I think she's 33.
And you work together. You and Megan create every day.
We are creating, not much else, but just creating. And we work together at our little golf company, making a variety of things.
It makes me so happy.
It's fun.
You recently became famous due to a cameo on a web show.
Yeah, it was so fun when you came through town in Portland and we went urban golfing.
If you don't remember, Akbar was in season one, and we went to his shop, and you, the aftermath is you told me that, you know, you made a head cover for me out of a jacket from a thrift store. Mm-hmm. And you told me that everyone started writing in and asking for their grandfather's military jackets.
Some of those stories, man, and many times are very moving. But yeah, almost every day we have some old uniform or golf shirt or whatever, just a variety of things.
Yeah.
Getting cut and sewn.
And then also people started recognizing you immediately, like when you were at golf events.
So, yeah, we do some stuff at a couple of tournaments, and the main one is the U.S. Open. And I was out there hammering. You know, we started out doing that for in 2015, where we'd personalize stuff and hammer it on an anvil. And I never really had people come up and say, hey, you're that guy who plays urban golf. Like, that had never happened. And in the first year that thing aired, it was like, every multiple times per day.
Right. How did that make you feel?
You know, it didn't change a whole lot. I'm still here with you guys.
Hafer cannot keep a straight face, by the way. All right, moving on.
These are probing questions.
Christian Hafer.
Yo.
Welcome to the pod.
Hey.
What, how would you, your name is Christian?
Correct.
And in a German accent, it's Christian. We've been on a bit of a boys' trip, would you say?
I would say.
Christian, how would you define this this trip without spoilers?
Traumatizingly transformative.
How would you introduce yourself in an elevator? Going down, not up.
I wouldn't.
You would not?
I wouldn't.
What would you do? Would you look in the corner? Would you?
I would probably stand there and take a photo of somebody. And
he's a photographer.
Yeah, my name's Christian, I'm a photographer, and that's it.
Your facial expressions say so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Akbar's going to get a photo. We can post this right now.
Perfect.
There you go. Let's see, what should we talk about, guys?
Well, what we're doing is kind of interesting.
What are we doing?
We got you guys out in Oregon, man.
Yeah, we made it.
Yeah, it's a central location. You're from L.A., and Hafer's from Pennsylvania.
It's a little bit more central for you.
Yeah.
And the weather's worse than either of those places. Yeah. So it made a ton of sense.
It's 41 degrees outside. We just played nine holes.
We walked.
Oh, hey, you know what? Guys, I got to address something real quick.
Yeah.
Some of the fans of the podcast have made it known to me that they think that the chewing of the cookies in the microphone is a little too intense.
So
I'd like to see if we can potentially learn how to chew properly. You haven't had any cookies. Have you? You've never had a paleo cookie.
All right. Well, I'm going to be honest. So I have a thing where I hate it when people chew. And apparently it's a real disease because my brother sends it to me every time I freak out. But
he sends you him.
Sounds of him.
Whatever the name of it is. So it can, I guess, make me feel better.
You getting Instagram texts?
I am.
While we're on the pod?
While we're on a pod.
It's his wife, actually.
Should we take? Should we do a live Q&A?
No, this is actually...
You want to go live? You ever go live? Either of you go live?
Okay, hold on.
I have not done that, no. I don't know how to do it, but you're welcome to or...
All right, you want me so to? What... No, don't do it.
Right. No, let's not do it. Very so whenever somebody chews the sound of it, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Really?
And so every time I hear the cookie on your thing, I'm like, fast forward 15 seconds.
You fast forward it, really?
Yeah, so I don't like that sound
it's
either.
It's too much, huh? So should we eat the cookies on the pod? Should
I only like to listen to myself chew.
Should we pause it and eat the cookies really quick? Or should we move the mic back from whoever's currently chewing?
And we're back.
I'm chewing. And we're back.
Yeah, you might need to take a little break.
Let's see. You don't think... But everyone likes the cookies.
When were these cookies
made?
Did
we bring cookies with us?
Because we've been on the road.
We've been together for a few days.
Just breaking out the cookies right now.
Cookies are right here.
Those look quite nice.
We've been... yeah, I mean, they're pretty good here. I'm just going to get in
Why
here.
Why am I drooling?
Someone else talk for a minute.
They're very soft.
I was...
Should I describe the cookie to the listeners?
You describe it while
the
I
The size of the chocolate to the surface area is very high.
It's very supple.
Everyone was very surprised. That
very
it feels
chewy.
Like real
feels
cookie.
Like a
okay,
a
I'm kind of losing it. Smack.
They're so good.
These are pretty good.
Christian, fill the air. Come on. Don't eat it.
I can't.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This is amazing. There's a lot of chocolate in there.
I filled it up with chocolate.
What kind of chocolate is that?
I was like, I'm going to Portland. I'm going to give it extra chocolate.
Yeah, but what kind is it? It's what like, kind of, it's not the little
There's a lot of
teardrops.
Coconut. There's
the
some healthy, coconut.
It's the healthiest chocolate you can get.
Is it dark chocolate?
It's definitely extra. It's extra everything. When you actually go to the checkout counter with this chocolate, they raise an eyebrow. They're like, oh, dang. Are these...
Oh, he's living.
He's living. Extra. Mm. Well, I'm going to pause it. We're going to eat these cookies. We'll be right back. Just kidding. I can't not eat a
Hayford
full cookie.
Took a gigantic bite right when you said
that. Well, we need to talk about something of substance.
Okay. A subject matter that matters.
How about this?
Huh?
I didn't realize people didn't like it.
It is bad. It's really bad.
Is this a tradition that you do with the paleo cookies every single show?
This is a thing, yeah.
It's a gift for the guests.
The allocations are off. There's only an even number of cookies here.
Well, it was all I had left. I had made a batch for, I did the two-part Master's Edition.
Oh.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I feel like we need to really tone this down. Hey, okay, how about this? Someone asked me a question the other day. They said, what's it like to play with a caddy? Akbar, why don't you answer that? You used to work at Bandon Dunes.
I was a caddy. I was a caddy at Bandon Dunes. it's interesting. A caddy can either be your buddy out there just hanging out, or they can go all the way out through to giving you advice and about golf and other things. Life, who knows? But yeah, I was a slow caddy. Is this not the answer to your question?
No, he's just laughing because I'm chewing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's a challenge in and of itself to listen and chew at the same time.
But the thing is, it can be very nice because you don't have to carry your own golf bag. For example, you guys were playing together out of the same bag here at Tethro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just swap clubs. That was nice, you know?
That is nice.
It's intimate. But, you know, I think playing caddy is good.
Let's talk about intimacy on the golf course. you just brought up something I wanted to talk about. Is this podcast viable? I feel like we're really borderline not posting this.
This is borderline unpostable for sure. It
just depends on the time. You know, nobody's really checking in the evening.
We're 9 minutes in and we have accomplished almost nothing.
All right, he wants to talk about caddies. Let's talk about caddies. Right, did you ever caddy?
Yeah,
Dave?
A couple times. And it's hit or miss. It's either really bad or really good, and there's no in between. Actually, when we were at Sand Valley, I fired one of the caddies off my bag.
What? You did not.
Yeah.
Wait, was I there?
Yeah, you were.
What amazing. You were like out, gone?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I tried to do it as politely as possible, but I
was
just...
Was this on day one when we played the Core Crenshaw?
Two, and he wasn't supposed to show back up, but he did.
Oh.
And so I felt kind of... I was like, okay.
Oh, you had already said that you didn't want to shell out for a caddy.
Well, no, I just... I didn't want to shell out for that caddy.
It was personal.
And they didn't... it wasn't fun. We listened to him more than...
Talker.
Was he enlightening?
Caddy life.
Was he enlightening, at least?
No. Not at all.
He was more like...
We learned a lot about his golf game.
He was dimming.
Yeah, very dim. Turn the lights down. But I've had other caddies that are awesome, really helpful, help you get around the course and, you know, are well worth it or just simply entertaining.
Yeah. I had a caddy once tell me that the putt was uphill, downwind.
Nice.
Uphill but quick, he said.
That's not helpful.
That was very... Computations like that are not possible.
Yeah. I avoided giving advice in most situations, unless the golfer was not good.
Did you just hand a club?
Given the choice, given the fact that you can afford a caddy, right, or that, you know, whatever, would you rather have a caddy or not have a caddy, all things equal?
A good caddy, yeah, I would love to have a caddy.
But knowing that a good caddy is what percentage? 20%? 30%?
When you're with your buddies, a caddy's fun. And I think on your own, sometimes it's just nice to meander out there on your own and do your thing.
I think it depends on where you are and what the round is.
Like what country?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, no. Like what type of course you're at? What are you doing?
Blind shots?
Am I allowed to keep eating this cookie?
Yeah, you can keep going. Yeah, I'll just turn you down. Okay. I'm just going to get you out of here.
Tweak those levels.
All right, Akbar's gone. He's in cookie land. For those of you that asked for no munching, I would just like to, you know, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, the Eric Lang Show, it's a place where you can, everything's a safe request.
This is a safe space.
You can ask for anything. Is there anything you want, Christian?
No, I'm good.
You're solid?
I'm good.
What's up? You seem uncomfortable.
I am very uncomfortable.
Why are you uncomfortable?
I don't know.
Don't give him the cookie.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think I want to eat your cookie, Akbar, while you're eating it. It's weird to hear the sound of your own voice.
Do you want to take the headphones out?
No.
Will that make it better?
No. Because then I won't feel included.
It's sort of a catch 22 for you.
I'm in a weird place right now with everything.
Let's see. Well, where are you at? You love photography.
Correct.
And when did you decide that you love photography? When did that?
Probably 14 years old.
And everyone loves your photograph. Do you get any haters?
Yeah.
Really?
For sure.
No way.
Yeah.
What do they say?
They just don't think cool pic, bro? Yeah, cool pic.
Akbar's done eating. I'm going to give him some volume.
Fade him back in.
I'm going to chime in. What are you going to say?
I don't understand
how you can have any haters. Your stuff's so good.
I appreciate that. But I think not everybody's going to like everything, right? So naturally, some people just aren't going to see my photography and it's not going to make sense to them.
Right.
Or they're not going to understand why'd you take that? Because they're used to a certain kind of photography.
Right.
I mean, my background in photography didn't stem from golf. It didn't stem from...
What do you mean?
A large focus of my photography was, at a point, street photography.
So you came to photography... Wait, which came first?
So, the chicken or egg?
Which one? It was egg, right?
So, I started photography in high school, and it was because I snowboarded, and I just wanted to document things, and I couldn't, like I was telling Akbar, I couldn't paint, I couldn't draw.
I could see that by looking at you. I could guess you're not a good painter.
No, and I couldn't write. I can barely speak. So
you could speak great.
I got a camera and started taking photos of people snowboarding, and we had a whole program in our school, and I did that for a while. And
this is in Eastern Pennsylvania?
I was actually in Colorado.
I was in Colorado.
At the time, yeah.
Right.
And so I did that, and I fell in love with it, and... When I moved, you know, fast forward years and years later, I moved and I was in Philadelphia. I needed an outlet. So I started found street photography to be that outlet because a lot of the photographers I learned early on were, you know, old masters of documentary photography, reportage, street stuff.
Like name a few. Drop some names.
Absolute favorite is Henry Carter Bresson.
Oh, yeah.
French dude. And there's a photo... when I saw that photo, that's when I knew I really wanted to do photography. And it's this photo of a man leaping over what looks to be this pond that he's not going to be able to clear. And the way he got that photo of just such a simple moment, to me, it's endlessly fascinating to just see people in their environment and try and make it look interesting.
Right.
So street photography was that for me for a long time. I moved away from Philadelphia, where I did most of that, and needed that outlet still. And I wasn't, obviously, it's a lot harder to shoot street photography than a lot of Amish people in Lancaster.
They don't like to be photographed.
They also aren't walking around streets, so
they're walking around horses.
They're either at Costco.
So is there nobody in downtown then, or?
Well, no, there are, but it's just not a big area. So where I could get up on a Saturday in Philadelphia and walk the whole city, and that was like my day, and just getting photographs, it would take me all day. Lancaster, right. It would take me 15 minutes, you know, and it's a cool place, but it's just not big. And you know, there are characters there to be found, but it's like the same ones over and over again.
Right, right.
Whereas Philadelphia, even though it's not massive, you could always look at it differently. And right. Depending on the weather, the time of the year, whatever, you could always find a really cool image, I thought. So I started golfing more and more. I got back into that. And then naturally just always had a camera with me, which was originally just my phone. And I didn't take my camera on a course. And right. My photography was really just landscape stuff. And then I started shooting more on course. And
why didn't you bring your camera on course originally? What?
Because I didn't. And that goes back to the interpretation of what golf photography is. It's, you know, you have to get out there at sunrise or sunset, and you have to get on a ladder, or, you know, you have to get these typical photographs. I'm like, well, I'm just golfing in the middle of the day. There's nothing cool to get there, you know?
Right.
And then I just started kind of bringing a camera with me just because naturally it was going to happen.
This is interesting. So now I'm like, it's like I'm getting a little bit more context into your photos, because I've always loved your photographs. I love how much you love taking pictures, and you know, we can get into some of the things you've done for the community. But it is. You kind of brought this like skate, surfboard, snowboard photography culture to golf. I didn't even realize that. I just learned that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they look at somebody's photography, it's, you can see threads of how they learned it. Like right. Any artist, any painter, any musician, anybody who does anything, you can see that thread. And for me, you can look at certain photos, and you can go and look at certain street photographers and say, okay, that's clearly an influence. Because I would spend hours and hours just poring over different books or looking at photos and trying to develop my own street style. And I think I've figured out a way to kind of pull in my own style, my own interpretation of the world around me into golf, which is a little different, which gets back to your original question of how do some people not like that? Some people just don't like that style.
I hate those people.
And I
hate those people. I love them. I love those people. I support all different points of view.
Don't you think the photographers in golf are better if they come from a non-golf background? I mean,
I don't know.
Because they frame the shots. I mean, your framing is different. It's not like always necessarily like what the golfer would have the preferred eye. I mean, like where you want to be.
Well, yeah. And a lot of that's goes back to, like we were talking about, I think it was this morning. And, you know, a certain camera that I used let me see people come into the frame. So I could frame my shot and get the background right and get them to come in at the right time. And a lot of times especially when you're golfing with friends, you just, 9 times out of 10, it's a swing shot.
Right.
Well, I take those, but I try and always do it from a different angle or create a different image. The same idea, the same concept, it's a swing, but how can I show it differently?
What do you think of, like, when you're looking at that, what is the most important? Like, background, face, foreground, like, what do you... Hole.
I mean,
does that even exist?
No, because I think every image is different, and I think the way you look at photography is, and anything, but the way I look at photography is every photo I take, I'm trying to tell a little story in my head.
Right.
I'm creating a little, you know,
Eric's bad at golf.
Eric sauntering down the fairway,
for example.
You know. So if I have, like today when we're walking around, and you know, I see, you're on a hill there's a stormy sky. There's some stuff over here, but I can kind of isolate you, and I can, in my head, I can tell this little narrative of yeah. what our day was like with this photo because of you walking. And so I want you in a specific place. I want to see your face in that photo. Whereas other ones, I don't want to see your face.
You don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Don't look at, don't make eye contact. But there's...
Mr. Hafer.
There's a lot of different ways to take a photo, and I don't think any way is really necessarily bad.
Right.
I think it's...
I know someone who took bad photos. My caddy at Augusta.
Did he?
Literally. Well, they were out of focus and black. Two very bad ways to describe it.
Is his finger on the lens?
No,
Did he just drop it?
That's one of the key things to success.
Did he take the lens cap off?
Yeah, I mean, the lens cap was off. There's a whole host of problems, but this is why there were 3,000 photos. But anyway,
okay.
What I was actually wanted to go back to is, and Akbar, you love photography on the course as well. You like a lot of things on the golf course. Music,
bare feet. Yeah, wonderful, nefarious things.
What else? What else do you like on the course that people might not know about you?
Bunker rakes.
Bunker rakes?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Bunker rakes and positioning of... Bunker rakes like in the bunker.
You have a bunker rake fetish?
It's just kind of fun to like rake the bunker. It's kind of soothing too sometimes.
So I know what I'm getting him for Christmas.
A mini bunker rake?
Garden. You know the one that goes on your desk? It would be cool to have one of those that was a bunker.
Would you ever get a bunker
rake
tattoo?
You just sit there, rake your little road hole?
I think we just came up with an idea.
All right, we're going to start making that.
I'm now available on...
pre-order starts now. It's sold out.
Sold out. It's a cardboard box filled with rocks and a fork.
We only made zero.
A plastic fork. But hey, you did a cool thing, right? Would you say the hey photo comp was a cool thing? You got
that did good.
You got people involved in photography on the golf course. You inspired them to like get creative in a game that people, I think, typically were kind of like playing golf to finish. It feels like a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think. A lot of times golf and what I see through Instagram, because it's so, I mean, everybody's on it and we spend so much time on it.
All the time.
All the time, nonstop, is I kept seeing kind of the same thing. And it kind of went back to a lot of the questions people would always ask me is, you know, how do you do that? Yeah. How do you, when you go out and play golf, how do you take photos? And all those kinds of questions. So I figured instead of asking people those questions and constantly answering, and I would just challenge people to think the way I think.
To find the answers for themselves.
Yeah, so the thing with photography is I can teach you how I do it. I can teach you how I look at things and how I use my camera and things like that. But
you've given some of that information to me.
I
generously.
Have. But it doesn't mean that it's going to translate to you and how you interpret the world. And the way you look at the world is different than how I look at the world. But everybody can make a black and white photo. So the idea was... Everything's always green. It's always lush. That's not really always what golf is. And I love black and white photos because when I started photography, it was all black and white darkroom.
Right. Darkroom.
So, you know,
These days.
You guys didn't have color film? And
so, like I was telling you.
Develop color.
I don't know where you're doing black and white.
No, you had color film, but because of the cost of everything to keep it down, it was cheaper to do black and white. So... We would develop everything black and white while we were learning. And you learn to look at things differently when you shoot black and white and you restrict yourself only black and white. Plus, it's so different than what everybody sees and usually shoots for. So I figured, let's just see what happens. And I was happy when 100 people submitted something.
Right.
And then it got kind of a little crazy. It kind of caught fire and...
Like a golf cart.
Like a golf cart.
Oh, man, what a transition.
Everyone, Hafer's logo is a golf cart on fire.
It is.
Which signifies that walking is...
It's however you really want to interpret it. It's your...
Some things catch on fire?
It's, yeah.
All good things come to an end?
There you go.
There's a little anarchy in that.
There's a little anarchy in that. That goes back to... Yeah, a little Slayer in there. But but it's... It's the idea of walk more. I mean, as a photographer, I obviously would prefer to always walk because you miss so much when you drive around. But I think you miss a lot when you drive around in a cart majority of the time, or that's what your golf is, because you're not really walking with your friends and talking or having a good time or a stranger, all those things. But for the whole photo thing, it was an idea for people to just kind of look at things differently. People really liked it. The second one I thought was going to be a way bigger challenge, because it wasn't take a photo of something black and white or take a photo and convert it to black and white. It was asking people to document who they golf with. Mm. So bringing in that human element that I think a lot of golf photography lacks, because they just want to show this really cool hole. And that's great, but not every photo has to be that. Sometimes there's really good pictures of not just golfers, but people who work on golf courses or surrounding the kind of golf sphere,
right,
who are important to the game and impact the game. And I think what I like in photography is being able to go out and document those things and document those people and kind of share their stories visually. Because again, I can't write, so I'll give a photo.
You're a great writer.
There's 1,000 words in a photo, right?
Hey,
there you go.
It's at least a
I
worth,
have that hanging over my toilet.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, Christian? What would you say is the most important thing that like photography has taught you?
Photography has taught me the most important thing. It's taught me how to understand people. Especially when you're walking around a street for 8 hours a day with just a camera, and you're almost making a movie in your head, and your photos are what you see in your head. So you get to observe people and understand how people behave, and understand you see people who are happy, mad, confused, all these different emotions, and you really understand kind of the human element of things. And I think good photography is that. It's that human element. I love landscape photography. I love all those things. But photography with people, because people are endlessly fascinating to me. We're so different. We can be from very similar paths or from the same town and be so different. And we can be from completely different places in the world and so similar.
Hmm.
So that's the coolest thing I think about photography.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I like that idea that you just sort of, it's this opportunity to just sort of observe.
Do you think you appreciate like a scene more when you don't have your camera, like after being a photographer?
Yeah.
I feel like you soak in more details, you know? You just like, say you're just walking around, if you're walking on a golf course, or if you're just walking through town, you just like appreciate just observing things a little bit more.
Yeah, I think for me, leaving the camera and like not taking photos is important, especially when I'm with my family, because though it's good to be in the moment. Hmm. And again, like I said, like I kind of get in my head when I'm doing photography. I'm off in La La Land and I'm coming up with my own thing. So those moments, like, you know, just walking around, like when Lindsay and I were on our honeymoon and walking around Ireland, you know, obviously I was taking photos, but then there were moments where I just stopped taking photos and we just walk around.
Right.
We'd be on a course at sunset and it was cool. We were the only ones out there and we would just sit down for a little while and not take a photo. And it was a really cool sunset, but people have seen sunset photos before.
Hmm.
I haven't experienced that with her before. So it was cool to just experience that. So
was that challenging in this day and age?
Yeah, I think your everyone's first reaction is photo.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause it's so accessible. Your iPhone's better than the camera that I learned on, you know?
Right.
So it's easy to just do that. And I think that's part of the problem with a lot of people's photography is they oversaturate things. They overdo it. And they don't give themselves enough breaks to really just think about what they were working on. And that's why, like, when I golf with people, one of the questions they always ask me is, you know, how do I get the best photo? How many photos do you take?
Hmm.
You know, maybe in a day, if I'm really shooting a lot, maybe 1,000,
right,
in a full day, usually way less than that. And sometimes it's just because I accidentally put it out of single to continuous mode.
Burst mode.
So
beast,
I think
burst.
Taking breaks, especially as you're golfing or with anything, breaks doing anything are important.
Right.
Not just photography, but anything you do. You can't constantly do that thing and expect it to be good without stopping and thinking about what you're doing and digesting everything you're seeing. And not every photo is a good photo.
I know.
I knew.
Yeah.
I have a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
Akbar, I really like your story about how you got into the sort of arena realm that you're in now. Can you tell everybody that story? You were an accountant.
I was an accountant.
You weren't always a head cover procreator.
Procreate. Yeah, I'm into procreation of.
You procure
cover heads. Where
are you? No, you purvey. You're a head cover purveyor.
Purveyor
of fine covers of heads.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Okay, so the way I started, I was an accountant.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, I was actually. You know what? That's a good idea. Let me tell my story. Over a song. Is this okay? Can I do that? Am I allowed? Is this not going
to
work out?
You've got a very specific...
He wants to play the Master's theme song. Here's the thing.
Will we get in trouble for that?
It's kind of his theme song.
Here's the thing about Akbar. When he sends you an email, he will primarily lead up the email with a link to a song that you should listen to while you read the email.
That is very true.
And then I think you've also sent one time an audio file of you reading the email. Have you done that too?
Well, yeah, because some people are, in the car. You know, I didn't want to cause an accident, so then I just decided that I'd read the email over the song.
Yeah, that's Akbar. This is always next looking level. Out for friends.
I don't even know if you actually have a business other than just making people happy.
And writing long emails with Masters covers, yeah. But yeah, it is a lot of fun to make people. I mean,
here's the thing: you if you play the song, we are subject to the laws of copyright from CBS. And whoever wrote that song, I don't know. Maybe Jim Nance. Did Jim Nance play that?
It's Kenny Loggins' cousin.
Yep.
And the song is named Augusta, and it has lyrics.
It does. Did you know that?
So I didn't know that.
Augusta, I think until the 80s
your azaleas are
it's about Augusta?
Like there's the whole
song. It's a whole song.
Do you think it's worth the risk to play the real song?
No.
Okay.
Look, here's the thing. I've gotten burned in life enough times now. Well, have I changed? Have you seen me change?
You've evolved.
I've evolved. Mm-hmm. I've had just way too many bad things happen. Okay. You know, not bad things, but you know what I mean? I've gone close to the cliff's edge.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? If you're at home or in your car, just
I'll email you the link.
Google the Augusta song. It's the Master's theme.
Yeah, listen to it right now.
And right now, and you know, my story starts when I was at KPMG. I was an accountant. I was a CPA working in audit.
What does that mean? Like, not too long on that answer.
Auditors make sure the numbers are right and report on their findings.
Okay. So you're looking for that quarter of a cent?
Well, it's all based on what's relative for the size of the business. So like a quarter of a cent might be relative to like a lemonade stand, but you know, for the bigger ones, it's a larger number.
Okay. All right, cool. You lost me, but go ahead.
I did that for a few years and just kind of was wanting to do more and do something on our own. I always wanted to have my own little business, but this whole thing was sort of an accident.
And you had loved golf. Had you already worked at Bandon at the time?
Yeah, I worked there in the college years and summers.
In the clubhouse?
In the shop and then also caddied.
Right.
I was like a B caddy or so.
You were a B caddy.
At best.
Right.
But so then that kind of led me into some relationships there. But the real key was my wife, who was an apparel designer at Pendleton Wool Mills.
Oh, I didn't know that that's where she started.
She was an apparel designer, and she was good.
Really?
And, yeah, she had some designs that were from Japan that came into mainstream fashion here. And she was part of the whole thing of Pendleton becoming a part of pop culture again.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
And then you guys literally... collaborated in the most intense way. It's a collab.
And then I took her away from her dreams and had her help me make golf head covers.
Aww. And now you guys share an office.
Yeah, we do. A lot has happened in the last 7 or 8 years, but in the beginning, we both were doing it on the side just because it was fun. And she was working a lot too, but looking to be more, we're both pretty independent. So when we started to sense it could be an opportunity to do our own thing, we were like, let's start doing it and really figure out if we can quit our jobs.
Did you need to take out a loan in the beginning or did you just like jump out of the plane?
No. I mean, my parents helped me buy the first run of wool and it wasn't that expensive.
Like literally they helped you buy a roll of wool?
Yeah, it was like $500. I haven't paid my mom back yet.
Ooh. That's so cute, dude.
But yeah, she wouldn't let me pay, but I had her come with me to the... You remember Hayford? We went to the Pendleton store.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And she wouldn't let me pay for it, so she paid for it. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But yeah, that was the loan I got.
That was it. You bought a roll of wool, and then you made it into...
I mean, there was a lot of personal... I mean, if you think about it, you know, my wife and I didn't pay ourselves for a few years, like 3 years or so. So those were loans from us.
Were you living on savings then?
Well, I was still working, so I still have my day job, and then we were doing it on the side.
Did you have to be kind of secretive about it at the office?
I was working for a real estate developer who's almost like one of probably the first ambassador. Like, what happened was we started doing it. It got into the right folks' hands, and we met a fellow named Marty Hackle, who's the Golf Digest fashion editor at the time. And he emailed us, and he said, hey, you know, this is really cool. I'd like to get some samples. I might be doing a photo shoot. And before we knew it, we had been published in a gift guide, which was a big deal because we didn't even have a website. We were on Etsy.
Whoa.
That's cool.
Marty literally was your firecracker in some ways.
Yeah, he's like our tenured professor.
What a great guy. Marty's such a great... I think that's one of the things I really love about... I don't know. I feel like we all kind of have, to some extent, that... what is that thing where you're like, I'm just going to close my eyes and just swing for it. And people kind of support whatever you're doing because I don't know why, because it's good or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
What is all that?
People are pretty amazing and they're pretty loving when it comes down to it. You know, if you think about it, one of the first things people find out about us is our story and how we came about. And you realize how caring they are because they hear that and they're like, you know, if I was to go and try to do this on my own, or these folks seem pretty cool, you know, I want to support that and do it. And sometimes I wonder if they're buying just because of our sad story or is it because we make good products. Right. But, you know, I don't think they always hear the story, and I like to think that it's because it's good stuff. But yeah, it's pretty special.
I mean, the decision of where you put your dollars is one of the biggest decisions we can make in our lives today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Right? I mean, as like, because you spend your money in places, and we've been talking a lot over the past few days on this little trip of where we like to, you know, land our bodies at, and, you know, where we like to do things and stuff like that. I don't know. Not really going anywhere with that. Just sort of.
No, I think it's true. I mean, you have to support people who have a kind of a common sense. It's a lot easier to go out and get other things or digest other things or, you know, eat different foods. But, you know, it's a lot harder to kind of stick to your kind of values almost. And like Akbar and Seamus, it's more than just kind of a brand. There's a lot more to it. And I think a lot of people identify with what he does and with what you do and, you know, so many other people because they see the passion in it and they see the creativity. And I think a lot of it is, I know from my perspective, it's like, I want to support it because I think that's cool and I wish I would have been able to do that. You know, I wish I could think like that. And so I think a lot of people just see things that they think are cool and want to help. And maybe it's not even from buying something, but it's from pushing it out there or telling their friends about it. Or, you know, in a case of Marty, it's things like that, that's what helps kind of get everything going, I think. And, you know, Akbar is a really good example of he's a really good representation, he and his wife, of the brand, but all the people that work there. And you really, once you meet them, you're like, I want to hang out with them, but I also want to like support them.
Right.
And do whatever I can to make sure that like that goes, because I can't get that anywhere else.
Mm.
Like nobody else is going to do what they do because no one else is thinking the way they think. So
being nice. Thank you, man.
Yep.
Well, it's been funny for me because, you know, I feel like right now we're in a time, not even just in golf, but in the world, everything's so corporate and everything's so big.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I just like how you've literally done everything you can, Akbar, to not do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just feel so lucky to have been a part of like the micro cult of Seamus, whether it's like a wild dinner at the PGA show that's like at some weird like
Italian restaurant.
Yeah, no, what was that restaurant we were at? What's it called? Mattis Chatham's?
Well, it's funny that,
you know, we've done so many cool things all over the
place. We've been pretty lucky to do some cool stuff, but, you know, it's really like, it goes into like what we're about. I think we all know what we're about, which is out walking and enjoying it. But it's like, what are we not about? It's like, we're not really, we didn't keep score today. I don't know what I shot.
That's true. We did. We played nine holes in 41 degrees.
We may not have known how many holes we played if they were numbered. You know,
that's true.
I had to ask on the ninth fairway if it was nine.
So what are you not? I didn't. You know, if one of us hit it in the bush, we weren't like, well, your arm was a little stuck there.
Yeah, no. Oh my god!
I mean,
a swing tip would be basically so funny.
There was no swing tips. It was basically like throw him another ball, try that again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And well, golf's fun, right?
Like I filled up on range balls before I went out there. I'll just say it.
In the kangaroo pouch.
Committed to the three stripe. Can I just say the brand with the three stripes?
I would never fill up on range balls before going to play, but I was at a Q&A and Butch Harmon said, because they were having a Q&A with how many balls would the players be bringing out to the course that day? And Butch Harmon was like, I don't know. I'll just take a dozen from the range. And I was like, my new hero.
Yeah.
I will take a dozen from the range.
This is Butch Harmon.
Yeah, who cares? That's
cool.
Aren't there Pro V1s on his range?
Yeah.
Boom.
That's a different kind of range.
Hence the reason I will take two dozen from that range.
Logic has been completed. Yeah, I did not take Pro V1s.
They were the brand.
They were not Pro V1s. No.
But yeah, it's like the way you play golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Well, you talked about caddies. I mean, we were out here chasing goats a little bit ago. I mean, can we talk
about that? Do you want to talk about that?
Do we want to talk about that?
It's up to you, Akbar.
It's up to you, Akbar.
I think it's a big
moment.
It.
It's a big moment for you.
We should give it a little.
It's a big moment.
It's a big moment, but it was kind of fun because, like, you know, it was awesome to get to go and experience it.
Here's what I'll get us into this.
Thank you.
So
I'm gonna open this one up.
So a couple weeks ago, the golf world, the golfing public, including Christian and I, were made aware of a special little golf course in what's known as BFE, Oregon. It's bumfuck Egypt, actually. I didn't realize Egypt was in Oregon or that it's in the middle of BF.
Yep.
I thought it had to do with Bureau of Land Management, and it was. But anyway, everyone is aware of this little golf course.
Not really, but close.
Sylvie's. This golf course is going to have caddies that are going to be made out of goats. Literally, they are going to be goats. And Akbar was tasked with the special task. Can you be tasked with a task? Anyway, Akbar has a special, he's a figures, his character figures heavily into this story, and he called Christian and I to come up and document what would probably go down in history as the first goat that's actually been able to be called a caddy. And this is all essentially because of you, Akbar.
Well, it's the guys down there at Sylvie's. I mean, they have a goat ranch there, which I never really knew. When they first called and they said they were going to have, or they were planning to have goats as caddies, I was like thumbs up and jumping around. I thought that was the coolest idea, and why didn't anybody else think of it?
Yeah.
Right.
But ultimately, it was basically they had a goat ranch and they had these guys from Peru that are pack goat experts. That knew how to train a goat to carry stuff.
Up very steep hills.
Exactly.
And so they called you and they said, we have a problem.
Well, you can't just tie them to the
goats saddle. Don't have hands.
They don't. They don't have opposable thumbs either.
That is accurate.
And they walk on all of their hands and feet. So for a goat to become a caddy, there are special logistical challenges.
Yeah.
Namely, they're not humans.
Yep.
So they don't have a shoulder to throw a strap over. So how do you fix this problem?
Well, we had to design a bag that would go on the goat and carry the clubs.
Brilliant.
Simple.
Is that not the answer you were looking for?
No, but it is. It's so much more to that.
It's so simple, but...
I guess all that'll kind of come out, but it.
This has been several months in the process. You've been building this goat strap.
The big thing
bag.
Was they went to the press and they said, "Hey, we're gonna have goats as caddies." And before that, a couple months before that, they said, "Hey, let's have you guys design this thing." And so I was like, "Yeah, I'm totally cool." And they're like, "Can we use your name in the press?" And I was like, "No, you know, I'm not ready to be part of that because I want to make something that works." Little did I know that when they went to press, it would end up on Good Morning America.
Amazing.
But at the time, we were like nowhere near being ready.
And you didn't know that you could promise and deliver that.
No, I never probably put a golf bag
smart.
On a goat.
That's smart.
So, yeah, it wasn't like we weren't ready for it. And then we
do you regret? You see, your face says you kind of regret not just going with
because
it.
Because I never really put it that way that I said no to having involvement on the press thing because I wasn't sure it was going to work.
Yeah, and but then, Akbar, you have a limit to how much you can make. Am I right?
Yeah, but also like
you're handmade in Oregon. You're not trying to.
Yeah. We can't make a lot of anything, and thankfully there's not going to be a lot of goats running around. It's just going to be one or two.
Know. You don't know.
Eventually,
this
maybe.
Could be a whole thing now.
Yeah, it could be the new Amazon.
Amazon just like, goat.
Just Amazon goat.
Goat.
Would you like it delivered prime or goat?
We'll see you in 2.5 months.
2.5 months.
Bruce what's will
the
swing prime by.
When they show up the same day with it?
That's Amazon goat.
Yeah, that's Amazon goat. It would show up on a goat.
Yeah. Greatest delivery of all time. The D is silent. Goat. Greatest delivery of all time. Godot. Okay. So anyway, you got to watch the goat wear the golf bag that you made for it.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel, you said, you quoted, your quote when you saw it happen was pretty profound.
Something like, it's the best moment of my life. I don't know. I
with
was
regards
kind of
to Seamus was what you meant.
With regards
to Seamus, yeah. Which I didn't say, but I meant that. You know,
yeah, it was inferred.
It was inferred. Yeah. We can put that in there later. But, you know, it was pretty special.
Yeah. It was interesting as a, I don't know. Outsider?
Spectator?
Spectator? Spectator to the sport?
Journalist?
To watch it build to kind of the anticipation of, oh my God, is this going to work?
It did seem scary to me.
He was genuinely freaked out for a little bit, like, this might be a really bad idea. Mm-hmm. Like, I may have got myself in too deep.
Well, you guys had come from all over, and it was like a 6-hour drive from Portland.
Well, I think it was, and I think, yeah, knowing you is probably a little bit about that, but it's also like wanting to make a really good product. Mm. And the minute it was on and it was moving and Bruce was doing his thing, you could just see the pure just joy pouring out of the guy. And it was like, it may have been the coolest thing I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
A very long time.
His response, Akbar's response.
His response, the goat having this contraption on him.
Yeah.
And chewing on peanuts, happy as could be, just literally happy as could be.
It was like you had completed a very complicated high school science experiment.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my goodness, I grew a potato in a bottle of water.
The teacher was the goat, basically.
Yeah, the goat taught you. What did the goat teach you?
Wow.
Companionship.
Beautiful.
That's deep, profound.
I don't know what you're actually saying, but I believe you. And
I'm
let's leave that
in Sylvie's ranch for a while.
That's yeah. Hafer took a bunch of great photos.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to do.
How did your Instagram handle Hafelife come up? How did that come up?
I don't honestly know.
Cool. Good answer. Yeah.
It's like half life, right? Like,
well, no, because so my last name's Hafer, and my whole life I've been known as Hafe. It just the progression is hey Christian, hey Hafer, hey Hafe. Mm-hmm. Like it devolves, and soon it'll be ha, and then people just won't talk to me.
They'll just breathe at you.
Ha. But so Hafe, and I don't know. I just figured it was catchy, and somebody
like,
has
I'm alive.
Somebody has at Hafe.
Oh, asshole.
Yeah, so shout out Instagram if you want to give me that.
Yeah.
You should do that.
You deserve it.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, he's literally not active. I don't know who it is because they haven't done anything. And it's a real bummer.
This guy.
Because it would simplify things for people. They wouldn't have to type
underscore
so
Hafe or just Hafe?
Just Hafe, man.
So you came out. You had to document this affair.
I did. I had the awesome opportunity to do so.
Oh, my God. Zero posts, zero followers, zero following.
See?
Well, it's a triple
there's got to be somebody at Instagram that listens to this. So just, you know, I've gone through the channels.
What's his name? Kevin? Kevin Systrom? He's listening.
Hey, Kevin.
Kev, you out there?
He works at Instagram?
A billion followers. He started Instagram.
Whoa. Kevin, what's up, man?
Kevin, if you're listening, pull over.
Right now.
Text your assistant. Text your assistant.
This happen. Okay. Cool.
He's on it. I can tell. So anyway, you had to document this whole event.
I did. I had the dumb luck to be able to get invited to this thing, and
yeah,
it's.
What's is any challenges to photographing a goat? High shutter speed.
Yeah, you really want high shutter speed.
Yeah,
and you want to make sure your exposure compensation is just.
We had a long conversation. About
I think it was an argument more than anything else.
It got a little.
People were getting
offended. There were references pulled in from the internet.
Shots were fired.
The long form.
But I think with this, it's cool because it's so different, which fits with me. I just want to show different things. It's easy to shoot in the fact that it's pretty great, but the pressure comes on. You want to make sure you get the best possible photo.
Right.
Because this is, it's literally something that has never been done, but it's a great, it's an amazing story to tell.
Yeah.
Because it just, it's so good.
It's so good. You got it's great so photos. Good.
Yeah.
It's the closest fortunate. Thing to cowboy photography that I've ever seen. Cowboy golf photography.
See now.
Cow pasture golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
So tomorrow morning, we're going to do, I talked you guys into this a little bit. We have some extra time on our sojourn, and I was like, let's do a little, well, what I like to call, I don't know if I've called it this yet, but it's essentially the Random Golf Club.
Mm. Wait, what? I didn't hear about this.
You're playing golf tomorrow with a bunch of people you don't know
Oh, no, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. No, I heard about this. I just maybe wasn't paying attention.
So how do you think about that?
I think it's great.
You haven't done it yet. So you don't really. So we're not. I've done it three times now.
Played with all random people.
Three people that don't know each other that I don't know. So it's like it's literally like four satellites stopping at the International Space Station and getting to know each other and telling stories.
All right. So
it's been a while.
Has this? What have the experiences been for you so far? Have they all turned out pretty good? Pretty bad?
Pretty good. I mean, for being completely relatively unknown, and you know, I think one of the biggest parts about it that I find interesting is like I typically have social anxiety around, oh, is this person gonna like that person?
You're more concerned about other people getting along.
Yeah, because I can probably get along with anybody,
true,
at least one on one or some fraction of that. But like the harder part is like, oh my god, are they gonna have fun?
Right?
Are they gonna all like each other? And it's been really fun to just let go of all that and be like, hey,
you,
guess whose job that
signed
is?
Signed up.
That's their job.
Yeah.
My job is just, I set it up, everyone agreed, and now we're going to go play, and I'm curious to see how that works out tomorrow.
I think it'll be good.
Do you have any thoughts going into it? Should we?
No.
We're going to release, this is going to be out, so we're not going to be able to what's the word, you know?
We're not going to be able to back out on it. We're not going to be able to edit it out, is what you're saying?
No. I mean, we're not going to be able to come back and have a download after.
Mm.
It just is what it is. But going into it, I'm excited. I haven't had one in about a month.
That's great.
We're in Oregon. It's going to be 32 degrees.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 32 degrees. We're in Oregon. It's probably
kind of
snow
random
and rain.
Golf club did over at Augusta, right?
Augusta was a random golf club.
Sorry.
All right. I did it. You're right. I said yeah, I would not do it. I did it.
Yep.
Yeah, we can talk about it. No, we shouldn't talk. There's one cookie left. So anyway, I'm excited for the Random Golf Club. Do you guys have anything else? I think we're pretty much done for the day.
We're playing on golf boards.
We are playing on golf boards yeah. In the snow and 32 degrees of random
to the
people.
Future.
It's going to be 32 degrees. Yeah. We're going to play on golf boards. Your boogers are going to turn into crystals.
Fantastic. Can I smoke them?
Mm. I would say they're just going to be icicles.
Different tone.
Different
tone.
Turn took a turn.
All right, well, how should we end this podcast then? Are you guys done? You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
I'm good. What else, Zachary? Your mouth's open.
I'm just trying to think of what I would ask you on a podcast.
Go ahead. Anything.
Ooh.
Ooh.
What can we do to get a random golf club going in our own town? Can we do that? Are
yeah,
we allowed?
You want to get one going?
When's it?
You want to start one? Are you asking as you or are you asking as the listeners at home?
Maybe a little bit of both.
I think
it's kind of a good idea. Well, I feel like I get stuck in playing with people I know all the time.
Right. Well, I do too. And so what I've done is anytime I ever get an invite to play golf in any location, I save it. And now I have a list that's about 250 entries long that I can sort out by location.
Okay, so how do I think
you need an assistant.
Yeah.
Number one. I can help you with that. But now you can do it on your own. You just screenshot them and put them into a folder whenever you get that. I mean, you don't even need that. You have enough of a social following out there.
I think it would be
and
cool.
You know enough people, you know, that you connect. I just, you know, just go, hey, I'm going to be here this time. Let's all play golf. First three, let's do this, you know. So that's how I'm thinking we're going to do it. And then what I'm thinking in the long term is, and I haven't really shared this yet on a public level, But it would be like there would be another way to connect. Maybe like an email list would be kind of lame, but I think there would almost be like Instagram handles, almost like mapped out on a map. And so if you publicly sign up to this map, what? Why are you looking at me like that?
This is pretty good.
I think we're going someplace.
So you got this interactive map that's just got like GPS coordinates with where you're at.
I don't want to break this up, but this is what we do. We get an idea and then we break it up. Because I just want to
break it up. We'll just break it up, man.
We just stop and we go in a different direction. And I'm going to do that right now because we're doing that. We're having profound. We just randomly talk about things and then profound things happen.
This is good.
This is happening.
It's happening right now for sure.
Live.
Yeah.
So if you have a map and you have these people you can jump to.
Yeah. Then you just go to their Instagram profile. By the way.
It would be perfect. I mean, like, it would be cool to be feeding, like, oh, I play with these guys, and then, like, this guy's played with these guys. Yeah. Would you have, like, a private Uber rating? Like, this guy's, like, a
4.3. No.
Like a 1. It's super low-key. It's super low-key.
That would be funny.
The whole idea is...
Shoot, I'm like a 2. What did I do?
The whole idea is it's, like... Here's the thing. Like, for me, it's, like, if you're a fan of Adventures in Golf, it's not about me. I didn't do anything. It's about the show and the concept and the idea of, like, casual golf. You know, I'm not going to wear a collar. I'm not going to keep my score in a way that's going to like freak everybody else out. Like I think I'm in a tournament. You know what I mean? Like, and it's our vibe. It's right. Our people. It's Ashley. It's all the people that we played at Winter Park with. Right. So it's essentially that. And like when you would go to Winter Park, I would hope that like at the next event like that, everyone would almost like, because I think one of the things people do is we go out in the world and we're like afraid to connect. At least I experienced a large part of my life that way. Yep. Afraid to like reach out with my hand and be like, what's up? I'm in the window seat. Do you mind standing up so I can slide past you and we can talk about whatever, you know? Or you know when you see someone in the airport with a Titleist hat? Mm-hmm. Why don't we go up and say hi like a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Hey, I know that. That's cool. I play that game too.
Do you play golf?
Yeah.
Do you like, golf?
And why is it like, oh boy, don't look over there. He's got a Titleist hat.
Staring at another guy with a Band of Dunes logo on too for like 5 minutes. And we're staring at each other. I should have just talked to him. I was thinking about that.
So that's the spirit of this thing. And so it's just a way to have it a little bit more online so that when you're...
I see you looking at me.
Well, I think yeah, I see you seeing this logo. I know.
This last cookie.
I know. Oh, God.
We're about 57 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Sorry. Go ahead, Hayford.
No,
just do
I don't want to bite.
Just do it.
I don't. I think a lot of times, a lot of people, they try and network and connect so they can go play a certain course, not play with
certain people. Yeah, this is not
people.
That.
I think this is so much better because I played with random people. I mean, half the people that I met last year that I really enjoyed. I mean, you and I met. Never really meeting each other at a golf course,
right?
And just playing golf,
right?
And a couple of other people that just now I'm friends with,
right?
Through the game of golf, because everyone started off with their typical, you know, this is how I golf and keeping score and doing the whole thing, and it all devolved very quickly to just having fun,
totally.
And I think that I haven't done this, so I'm wondering: are you seeing people kind of? You know, by the third, fourth, fifth, sixth hole, kind of throwing off the bows, and they're just kind of, they're enjoying it more. Do you see people, or is it just like a direct reflection of who that human is?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the people that are doing it all come into it already from like one body of water to some extent, right? Right. Like when you go to any golf course and you get paired up with a random fourth, like a truly random fourth, that person could have a very different mindset around golf. And I've had experiences sometimes where I've literally gotten scared of that person because I said like, hey, bro, you seem really upset after 9 holes. And he's like, I am. And I was like, good talk. And I'm like, why the fuck are you out here playing a voluntary game?
Well, that's
using it as fuel for your anger. Anyway, I mean, obviously we're all on the same page there.
Yeah.
But no, I think most of these people already get that. And that's why I think it's so cool is like creating a little micro network out of people that we all know that like probably know each other on some level. Yeah. Like the people that, you know, are fans of Seamus, people that are fans of your photography, the people fans of this podcast or the show probably all already get along, but just haven't met yet.
Right.
And so there's a great way to like.
They really do. Like every once in a while, I've had a chance to be around a couple people and they really are on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, how can we just facilitate more of that? Because it is very hard, number one, in today's day and age to connect with people. But ironically, in today's day and age, it's very easy to connect with people. It's just a matter of, are you about to cry, bro?
No, I'm going to sneeze. No, it's not. I think it's very easy to connect what we project with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very different thing when you actually are with that person. Like, everybody can make their interpretation of how you are based on what they see and right. based on what they see on social media. And it's a fairly accurate representation. But when they're out there walking maybe two holes and it's just you and two other guys, they might see a different side they never saw. And I think that's the thing. Your point is people actually connect when they play golf. And I think the way we play golf,
sure,
we actually connect because we're just out there having fun.
Even though actually we just played 9 holes, 41 degrees.
Yeah.
We didn't talk.
We didn't. You don't need to. Okay.
I was noticing that, and I kind of was like thinking, "This is cool. We're not like trying to talk."
So, my brother-in-law is a really avid golfer, great golfer, but he doesn't talk a lot. I don't talk a lot. I'm more of an observer, and I think so is he. And we went and played 18 holes and barely said anything to each other.
Right.
We both remarked to other people what a great time we had, because sometimes you don't need to say anything. You don't need to talk a lot to understand people or just have a good time. Sometimes you just don't want to talk.
Yeah.
And it's fun to go out and do something with somebody and not force things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, enlighten.
Sure, should we stop talking?
Done. Can I slam the mic down?
You can drop the mic. Thank you guys for joining me on the Eric Lang Show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Eric. Akbar.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow.
Underscore.
I'm going to try this. You ready?
I say.
I'm going to try my outro. I got an outro. You guys ready? I'm Eric Lang, and I'll see you on the tee.
Oh, no. That was so good. No.
What should it be?
Not that.
I'm Eric Lang, and I'll see you in the shower. I'll see you.
I'm Eric Lang, and I'm not watching you in the shower.
I'm Eric Lang, and close your curtains.